Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Four Center Podcast Feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our News and Q's episodes. The Q's stands for questions, and the News stands for news, because it's the whole world, whole word news. Whole world news. Did I tell you that, Ken? We're not just covering Star Wars anymore. Now, it's the Global News Report.
What if we just Four Center became Life Center? What if we just covered it all?
Life Center sounds like you and I are going to do an audio-only version of some sort of a yoga retreat.
Which we all might need after the Star Wars news again this week. We're going to get to all of that, including some great questions that, oh my gosh, had me not only just making detailed notes, but changing them. It's a good question if you can get me to go back and go, no, that's not the answer. That's not the answer. So all that's coming up shortly. But we want to remind you today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4Center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. As always, a little bit later, we'll have our 4Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And Joseph, that's not all.
That is not all. We also have another great offer from Insight Editions. They're a publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books. They are offering 35% off across their website with a special 4Center code. You can get the discount by entering the coupon code FC35, or you can visit the website with this link, insighteditions.com/discount/FC35. I love this offer because I get to say slash a bunch. It's very, very fun. This week, we are recommending this specific Insight Edition Star Wars book. I have so much fun checking out all the different books they have. This one is the Complete Marvel Comics Covers mini book. So it's this little mini book that is all of the, or not all of, but a bunch of the early 1970s, 1980s Marvel comic covers. And I just love those because they're at that time where Star Wars itself looked visually really different. It's this amazing space fantasy, but some of those covers are just like kind of great mixture of Star Wars space fantasy and generic weird science fiction, lightsabers, strange colors for no reason. I just love how wild those days of those early covers are.
I love them indeed. And as a kid kind of reading those, but not knowing what I was reading, they scared me and confused me and pulled me more into the Star Wars universe. So that's a great book to check out.
Mommy, why is there a giant bunny in Star Wars? Yes. That's a question all children have to ask. So anyway, you can check out the Complete Marvel Comics Covers mini book or any other great Insight Edition Star Wars book with the code FC35.
Do so. FC35 and audibletrial.com/4Center. We love giving you deals for being loyal 4Center listeners. We always like to catch up on Star Wars or life adventures. And this past week with America's favorite holiday, Valentine's Day, just unilaterally, just a loved holiday, right? keeping a lot of things going on, a lot of things in life. Did you find time for a deep breath, a sigh, and any kind of fun, Joseph?
I did kind of. This week was an extremely stressful week in Star Wars land, in Life Center land. Lots of stressful stuff going on. Yeah. I know for everyone dealing with everything we are in the world, but obviously here in America, a lot of turmoil. So it was a stressful week, to be perfectly honest. But on Sunday, I had an online show with my friends, The Double Clicks, a comedy variety scavenger hunt show. We had a bunch of friends, entertainers from different walks of entertainment, as it were, do this fun scavenger hunt. So it's about like a 90-minute online comedy variety show. It's the kind of show that I really love doing live, because when you do a variety show, you get the thrill of being a performer and you get the thrill of being an audience member, where when you're not on, you're sitting there watching your friends be really funny and charming. And, you know, it was exactly what I needed. The show went really well. You know, everybody in the comments was really happy to be there. I did a short bit about that was Star Wars related, and then another longer comedy story about bears. But the Star Wars thing, I dug up these Valentine's cards I got back in 2018, the Last Jedi ones, that are just, they're so great. They're so silly and weird. BB-8 just says, I'm your astromech friend, just really putting up that wall of, yes, this is a Valentine's card from BB-8, but only interested in friendship. And my favorite card is, there's a First Order Executioner Trooper, which is already weird. Like, yeah, you know, Star Wars has always got the relationship of, like, here's a box of chocolates with Darth Maul's face. Weird. But, like, right. Executioner Trooper, it's like... It's right there in the name. That's just, it's a weird thing to get a Valentine from. But then the card just says, the First Order, my Valentine. So there's no verb. There's no, the First Order loves you. No, join the First Order. You know, Kylo's is at least crush the resistance, my Valentine. So there's at least like an imperative. But the First Order Execution Trooper, he's just shouting a noun. He's just like, the First Order, my Valentine. Just so you know.
Just there. Just be aware.
It exists. So got to do some Star Wars comedy, Got to hang out with some friends and some great audience members online. And for me, you know, in our pre-pandemic times, that was something I very much knew about myself, that so used to the energy of, you know, prepare for a show, get nervous about the show, overcome the nervousness and, you know, be confident and have fun and, you know, do a good job and enjoy yourself and other people will have fun too. That I know that that's a thing that that really helps me reset. And I think I've really been missing that. So that really helped me a lot this weekend.
That sounds like a good weekend, sir.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. It was great. And how about yourself? Did you have a moment of breath or reset or joy?
I always do when I've been explaining this to Grace, is when I sit down and play video games right now, she wouldn't agree with me that it's a form of meditation, but it is for me. Where I if I'm playing a baseball game and I'm managing my franchise on MLB The Show, I'm just drifted away. I am taking the world's drifted away. I'm not even concentrating on what I'm doing. I'm just almost mechanically, robotically pressing the buttons I need to press. But I'm just, it's just like I hear music in my mind. So I did have some moments of that. Hectic week work-wise, life-wise, Star Wars community-wise, a lot of things going on. And we were able to slow down enough to celebrate the holiday. You know, you could be cynical about the holiday, and I'm quite okay with that because I'm somewhat cynical about the holiday too, but I'm not cynical about love or celebrating a good relationship that's changed two lives. And you know, we were able to do that and watch that Cecil Hotel documentary that everyone's talking about, or a lot of people talk about, a case that Grace is very familiar with for their true crime and paranormal interests. So that was actually a very, I won't spoil it, a very good doc for not the reasons you'd think. It's a good commentary on online experts.
Oh, just, wow.
Yeah. Very good commentary. It goes that way. So we were able to do that. And as far as like, I don't think I mentioned, but as far as like Star Wars, I was really weak where I haven't done our Clone Wars research yet. We did some, you know, prep for this show, but just a lot of other things going on. But I wanted to shout out, I think it deserves, our good pal, First Rate Nate, good listener here in Force Center, gifted me the Jar Jar Binks Black Series figure, the one with the shield and everything there. I went to the mailbox and that was there waiting for me. And you know what? I just appreciate Joseph and I and Jennifer too. You know, a lot of you have over the years has gifted us figures or little fan art or just some real heartfelt letters too. And we certainly don't do this for that, but you know, Joseph, it's nice to just go to the mailbox and there's Jar Jar staring at you because you mentioned the podcast.
Yeah, that is really great. That Jar Jar is to be treasured. What a great figure. That's really cool that First Rate Nate sent it to you.
Yeah, so that was it. That was a lot of things going on. Grace's shot a horror movie towards the end of 2020, which was hard to do in a pandemic, and the movie's starting to come out. And so we went to the screening of that at a socially distant screening, and it was nice to kind of just get out and put on a tie and some not have a beanie on, have to actually dress up.
I hope there were some beanies on your tie though, so you still felt connected to that.
Bright pink, but now I need a beanie tie, and that's on my list. So, yeah, it was a good weekend all around. I hope all of you listening out there got to find a moment of fresh air for yourselves, literally or figuratively.
Yes, fresh air for your soul.
Fresh air for your soul. And we're going to go to Star Wars news, and we're going to start with some fresh air for the soul. Because that's Jennifer Landa, who we obviously miss here on a regular basis, but is definitely part of the show, part of the Force Center family. And Jennifer is got a new article out on StarWars.com. We just want to highlight it. We're not breaking it down, talking about it. But she has a great article posted this past week. Meet the most impressive winners of the LEGO Star Wars Holiday Contest. And great little piece. Jennifer got to interview a lot of these people who built these handmade Lego Star Wars kind of sets. And one is the runner up, and it's really impressive. It's like Bright Tree Village, but in the winter. I kind of want that. But we want to highlight that. Jennifer does write for StarWars.com, has for years, posted this one, and we're going to retweet it from the main account. It came out last week. I got to admit, I kind of missed it. Everything going on in Star Wars world, like, how's it going? And Jennifer's back there. So, we want you all to check it out so we can get some traction, get some views, and Jennifer can, keep writing great stuff over there for Star Wars.
Yeah, no, that was really, really great to see. Yeah, she has for years on and off done writing for StarWars.com. And I know we've had a couple listeners tweet us and say, hey, I'm a newer listener. So you guys are always talking about this mysterious Jennifer Landa. What, you know, and wanting to find out more about Jennifer. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, towards the end of the year, we had Jennifer had time to send in some thoughts and comments. So it was great for people to hear. If you're a listener who isn't as familiar with Jennifer, man, check out this article. Like Ken said, we'll retweet it. This, to me, this is such a Jennifer Landa article because she is interviewing other people who have, you know, entered this contest to make these big, strange, elaborate, fun holiday Star Wars Lego. And to me, that's just one of the ways that Jennifer looks at Star Wars, which has always been a breath of fresh air to me, has helped me open up to that side of Star Wars, where Star Wars can just be an entry point to a sense of play and fun. That, you know, obviously Jennifer, and I'm sure everybody who made these Lego sets have thoughts about why they like certain characters and what they mean to them and why they're aesthetically pleasing and all those kind of deep thoughts. But also to just say, like, we're just throwing the doors open of imagination. And if there was going to be a holiday and Yoda was Santa, how would that work? Who else would be there with him? How would Yoda's Yoda Claus's tree be decorated? Just that explosion of play and exploration. It's so perfect that Jennifer wrote this article, because that, I think, that's what I've always taken from Jennifer's insights, that she has that same sense of, it's Star Wars, let's roll up and play. Let's roll up our sleeves and play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great crafter, great thing. Yeah, well, just well said describing her. And yeah, we've been blessed with a lot of new Patreon supporters in the last couple of months. I think The Mandalorian brought some new ears. And yeah, we want you all to go back to the archives, which I'm slowly fixing some of the broken links. But all the Happy Beeps episodes, which Jennifer produced, are up and running. And some of the Jedi Beat ones, we got to track down the original files. And you just catch up and just feel her insight and joy and passion for Star Wars from her point of view. So great note, Joseph. That, yeah, I forget. Some people might be like, hey, who's this Jennifer person? and as always, whenever she can get back, for those, again, who don't know, she at the same time had her second child, and her husband moved and put her farther away from our studios at the time, which all just made it a little more difficult. That was before the lockdown. And then you try raising two kids in a lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, we will continue to reach out to Jennifer and have her involved as much as she can or wants to be here in Force Center, but always a part of the team in the family.
Absolutely, indeed. And late breaking news before we get to the big stuff here. A picture of Boba Fett. It's out there. All right. Marvel Star Wars comics, a nice picture of Boba Fett, almost looking like it's an all black suit. It just is probably the coloring of the painting, of course, holding a blaster, a spear. It's a fierce looking spear against a wall with laser blasts in it. And that's all we got. And StarWars.com is running with the story of a Boba Fett cryptic tease from Marvel. So, Joseph, we'll talk about it when it comes up. But it looks like we'll be getting a Boba Fett Marvel comic, maybe.
That sounds great. I'm very excited to talk about it when we kind of know where it's set, you know, and what parts of the mysterious Boba Fett timeline are going to be filled in.
Yeah, and if big questions, we'll have big answers. To the news of the week, our look back and our chance to discuss the news over the last week. Headline reads, that's a wrap on Gina Carano and Star Wars. I'm sure some of you have probably heard about this. This has made some of the rounds. IO9 was actually, I think, one of the first to run with the story that a day after. And we're gonna list some things here, and then we can dive into it. I'm not listing a lot because we've been talking about this one, as we are happy to do in terms of discussing issues and important things in and out of Star Wars. But this has been going for a couple months, as a lot of you know. Most of you know, I should say, a day after Carano posted a story comparing her situation online and in life as she felt to the persecution of the Jewish people in Nazi Germany, as well as once again mocking mask wearers in California. This she deleted him, but nothing really gets deleted from the internet these days. That created a hubbub, a hashtag begun. I think it was the Fire Gina Carano hashtag, which probably not the first time that's been trending. And no. Later that day, Lucasfilm released a statement saying this, and this is the statement. Gina Carano is not currently employed by Lucasfilm, and there are no plans for her to be in the future. Nevertheless, her social media posts denigrating people based on their culture and religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable. Later, I believe that same day, her agency, UTA, then announced they had dropped her as a client. And boom, that started the news cycle had already begun then. So, Joseph, that's kind of some of the facts where we're at with this. So let's discuss the Gina Carano of it all here on 4 Center.
Yeah. I mean, I think just as a starting point, this comes up a lot recently that the reality of the world intersects with Star Wars. And whenever we have these discussions, we try to caveat that Star Wars exists in the real world. Star Wars itself is political. We understand that it is nice to have a Star Wars podcast where you can feel like, I'm getting away from some of the stresses of the world. But we also feel that it is important to speak about big, important issues, particularly when they, you know, intersect so clearly with Star Wars. Feel to not say something is to say something. So that's why we're taking the time to really address this. We've addressed some of the various controversies around Gina Carano before. We'll probably repeat ourselves a little bit, but that's kind of our stance of why we are beginning to talk about this at all, because it does intersect and we feel we have to, right?
100%. And happy to do that here on 4 Center. This is a, you know, this story's been, what, how long has this been going on? Since before season two, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Okay. So where do you want to dive into on this here? I have certainly thoughts on the legal term fired, which was not used by Disney or Lucasfilm, and some thoughts on that.
Where
your mind go?
Let's I think we should start there, because I think, you know, there has been things like the hashtag was, you know, people really saying fire Gina Carano. And in some headlines I've seen, and Gina Carano has been fired. And I think it's always important to pay attention to the details and pay attention to both what we know and what we don't know, and therefore can only kind of guess and surmise about. And this statement that you read is, you know, is pretty clear in that. Not currently employed by Lucasfilm and no plans for her to be in the future. So the statement was released clearly in response to the latest round of people being extremely upset by what she chooses to post and like and highlight. But this also sounds like this is a situation where maybe her contract was just never renewed, you know, and it's not going to be in the future.
I absolutely think that's okay. Case no inside information on this. No one here on this show claiming to have been in a room when anything has happened. None of us have, except for a few parties, right? And we're not going to get all that information, and not obligated. Those companies aren't obligated to share all that. But, you know, a lot of us listening, a lot of us here on the show, a lot of us, you know, we have jobs and life, and we've dealt with HR people, or we've been in rooms with lawyers, or, you know, I've had the displeasure and sometimes the pleasure of firing literally hundreds of people in my last job. And it's always a little messy and it's always a little particular. And I think this statement is pretty I'll vaguely clear, if that's a term, of I think this was not new internally. I choose to believe that by Investor Day, she was not involved. They couldn't comment, and you don't want to comment. And if someone's been warned a few times, it's not what you're saying, it's how you're, what you're doing to us as a brand. And also to your fellow castmates and crew is a big problem I have with her right now. I'll just say, in terms of locker room, you're going into the business for yourself. There's a lot of hundreds of people, their livelihood depends on this one show. And now it's all about you. So there's a lot of reasons I think I could be upset with her, but that's a big one for me personally, because that stuff kind of can drive me crazy. It's like, all that, we don't want you on the team anymore. is what this comes down to me. And then they say, oh, and by the way, also, just so we're all clear, we don't stand by that stuff either. I think they're two separate statements within this one statement, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think so, too. I think it is saying for various reasons that we are not making explicitly public, maybe for legal reasons, maybe for, you know, choice reasons. Her contract wasn't renewed. We're not going to renew it in the future. So, you know, that can end that conversation. But just to be clear, regardless of whether or not her social media posts were responsible for her firing, which seems like a, you know, a good legal thing to differentiate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. We as a company feel that what she has said, you know, denigrating people based on their cultural and religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable is the actual statement, which is, I think, extremely clear and extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And the reason I like kind of personally, me, Cad Napsack, not Joseph Scrimshaw, Jennifer Lander, or Force Center, but I like dancing in some of the specific legalese is I feel there's you can ride a wave of catchphrases that make this seem like it's one thing and make people into martyrs when really that no, it wasn't spiritually. Maybe you can follow that line, but it's not. This isn't because she was a conservative. It was because of the way she continued to make choices that were detrimental to the brand, to the show, to them, and just also it just continued to double down on the bad. And this is why I think this is old news. This is a couple months, and they just finally, for again, whatever reason, there's a reason not one cast member, crew member, no one's tweeted about it. There's probably some memorandum of don't you dare.
Mm-hmm.
Lawyers are standing by. We've all been in those type of situations too, where it's you just can't. So I think all that, and that's why I wanted to be clear for folks listening. Like I kind of go to that just because, like, in my mind, it takes away some of the arguments for or making her into a hero of sorts, and she's not. And this was an employee-employer situation that is very public, and well, she made it very public.
Yeah, exactly. No, I really agree with you. I think this is extremely clearly not a legal freedom of speech issue. Mm-hmm. Again, the First Amendment very clearly states Congress shall make no law respecting, and then lists various protections mm-hmm. that we're all familiar with and can Google the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law. The First Amendment is not, you know, a right to be in Star Wars. So it's not a legal freedom of speech issue, as you are saying, and you have, you know, great insight from all the different work that you have done, Ken, that this is a consequences for actions with a private company mm-hmm. issue based on choices, not identity, based on choices. So it's not a legal issue about freedom of speech. And I feel like for the people who kind of want to make it an argument about, okay, but in our society, we should have free speech. And like, we do. She can say things a lot of places, but it's not a freedom of consequences. People are going to react and they're going to have opinions about the things she chooses to say and like and post. And what I feel really strongly about, and feel like I want to make clear of why I think it is extremely unfortunate that it all had to go this way, but is probably the best for everyone to move forward, is that for people who maybe haven't been following along, there was the big post equating being criticized with what Jewish people experienced in Nazi Germany. That mm-hmm. obviously got shared a lot. That was the thing that we were discussing as this happened. But she's been mm-hmm. posting lots of different things and liking lots of different tweets and sharing lots of different memes that support lots of different things. Mm-hmm. Some of her posts are not views. They are lies. She has posted things mocking and questioning the science behind wearing masks to help our entire community survive a deadly pandemic. It is a fact, a scientific fact, that masks do help prevent the virus. she's posted or supported things doubting that Biden lost the election, or promoting the lie that there was widespread voter fraud. There was not widespread voter fraud in any way that anyone can prove. So that is also a lie. She is promoting dangerous lies that will and have hurt people. And for me, that's a big difference. Some of her things, I would say, are maybe views that I find extremely offensive and I disagree with, but maybe we could define them as views. Some of the things that she has said and supported are not true. They are lies. And I feel very, very strongly that as a society, everything from our politics to, you know, interacting with family members to Star Wars podcasts, verifiable truth has to matter. And we cannot call lies a viewpoint. And that is one of the elements of the discussion around this that really upsets me. Her views aren't being silenced. She's lying, you know? Do you have any thoughts on that? I don't want to just go into rant town.
I don't like lies. No, this is something that's it's so beyond Star Wars the last few years. But to tie it into, it goes beyond her. Indeed, it's this idea of this thing. I always go to the example of, you know, Kathleen Kennedy wants to kill legacy characters so they don't have to pay George Lucas. Literally a lie becomes treated as a critique of a movie, and the muscle's the same to me, which is why I get upset at this. And look, I think then we break it down into sides so quickly, political sides or whatever you want to say. And I think I've danced around it enough, Joseph. If you don't mind, I've been historically conservative my entire life. I think a lot of that's changed, and whatever that term means to you, take it for what it is. But I also am proud to say I've always put people first, and that's just some way I was raised, and that just continues to grow. I'm like Jon Snow. I want to fight for the side that fights for the living. All right. So I say that because it's so easy to just say, oh, that side thinks this and this side thinks this. It's the lies that you're talking about. You asked my comment on that. It's driving me crazy, because then this person's turned into a martyr based entirely on an agenda and entirely on lies, entirely on just it's a work to me, and it drives me crazy. It's why it's changed a lot of my core beliefs and a lot of the way I look at the people around me who I thought shared at least some connection to common sense. Yeah. I'm being honest. And the reason I say that and drop that big C word is that I feel sometimes it can be grenades can be tossed at, especially you, Joseph, and Force Center, or me in general, as we're out here in Hollywood and we're out here on, you know, left coast of the East or anything like that. And let me tell you, I was raised and believed and voted a certain way for a long time. And I'm just done with that. And done with that being allowed to shield things like this and things you're talking about, and why I not celebrate her gone. I don't think it had to be this way, but she chose to make it this way, and I'm not going to make her refuse to let anyone around me make her into a hero for it.
Yeah, no, and I applaud you sharing your truth, and yeah, that was something that, you know, I have been very liberal my entire life. And there's some, you told me like, hey, sometimes this is my experience. And we talked about why, and I was like, cool, great. And like, I didn't have I can't podcast with this guy. It was like, oh, I'll try to understand where he's coming from and what life experiences he had. And I think the thing for me is, you know, when I work with people, I watch what they do and who they choose to be. Mm-hmm. And you told me when we started working together that you historically had voted a certain way, mm-hmm. Way back, you know, this we're talking, you know, 2014. Yeah. But I never saw any choices or behavior that I thought is, wow, that's something I can't support. Mm-hmm. And to me, you said it earlier, and that's the crux of what is going on with Gina Carano and the argument that this group of people is being silenced. You know, I don't know what term Gina Carano is using when she is making that horrific comparison to Jewish people in Nazi Germany. I don't know what label she's thinking, if that's for her, if that's Republican, if that's a Trump supporter. I don't know exact label she's sort of claiming is being victimized. But for me, I don't think anyone, I am not, I'll speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I am not reacting to a label. I am reacting to choices. I am reacting to spreading lies that hurt people. I am reacting to spreading views. She has liked tweets saying, doubting the existence of systemic racism and saying that's not really a problem in America. That to me is extremely offensive view. She added the beep, bop, boop, you know, pronouns, mocking pronouns. And okay, you can have an argument about whether or not that's a view.
Mm-hmm.
It is a view that hurts people, and the people who are hurt by those views, I know, reached out to her, because after the beep, bop, boop thing happened, I saw many tweets with my own eyes saying, I'm a fan, I love you on The Mandalorian, let me tell you why mocking somebody else wanting to express their pronouns is hurtful. Mm-hmm. And I, according to Gina Carano, she had a conversation with Pedro Pascal himself about it. And she, not only did she initially choose to like or make these extremely hurtful statements, she had an opportunity to listen and learn and believe the people impacted by what she was saying, that she was hurting them. And she doubled down. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's not about whatever label that she is referring to for herself about a group of people. It is what she herself actively made the choice to share and promote, even after people kindly said to her, I know some people yelled at her, but plenty of people just kindly said, I'm a fan of yours. This hurts me. And she made the choice to continue.
Yeah, like we always talk about destiny, and Star Wars brings you to a point of choice. If you could continue to go one way. Yeah, no, and that's what I mean. There's a lot of personal decisions made that upset me, and things I don't agree with. And again, I always want to choose towards the betterment of people and having empathy and compassion for people. And when this was something that continued to go against that for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, and when a company, regardless, and you could out there say you're canceling your Disney Plus, you canceling Force Center support, whatever, and you're mad at Disney for making this decision. But like, it's like a company gives you the old progressive discipline HR thing, like, is for a reason. Like that stuff's in place. And when you're warned and told, and your cast members are like, hey, it's not about what you believe. It's your actions and how you're acting. And again, tremendously selfish, you're not standing up for anything. You're putting yourself in the spotlight. Perhaps, you know, what if Bob Iger woke up one day and said, enough, cancel the show? You know, and now hundreds of people lose their job because all this. That's where I start getting upset too. There's a lot of reasons, to be clear, for that I'd be upset at her. But that one just continued to grow. Just like, what are you doing? Oh, yeah. I can see now maybe what she was trying to do. But even more so. Just anyways, I don't know. One point, I know we just repeat ourselves, but we want to be crystal clear.
Yeah, we want to be crystal clear and want to see that, you know, it's a totality of things that she has stated or liked and you know, received opportunities to listen and learn. And I think for me, probably the last thing I'll say about this is I do. I have empathy for people. You know, in this whole week, you know, I tweeted my strong take on this, and I got a lot of extremely angry tweets back. I got some tweets saying things I should do to my body or my loved ones that were all very, very offensive and not very creative. And even within those tweets, like I would scroll down and see like, okay, well, you know, what else is this person, you know, doing or saying? Who is this person who's saying this extremely hateful thing to me? And sometimes be like, oh yeah, no, I agree with that take. You know, on Star Wars, they threatened violence against me, so I'm still going to, you know, block and report them because I have to. But even that person, I bet if I sat down with them, that person I blocked and reported for my own emotional and possibly physical safety, I bet if I sat down with them, I could find some things in common. I could have empathy for the person, but I cannot have empathy for lies, and I cannot have empathy for views that are extremely hurtful to a huge swath of human beings. And I feel that way about Gina Carano herself. And I'm speaking for myself and no one else on this, because everybody is affected differently and everybody has a right to that opinion. I feel empathy for her. We so loved and discussed it, the Disney Gallery season one, when she was talking so much about how great it was to get this really different opportunity. And I think it's awesome that Favreau is trying to bring in different people from different parts of the entertainment world into Star Wars and explore it from different perspectives. And I just think it's sad that expressing these views that are sometimes lies and sometimes extremely hateful to people was more important to her than continuing to explore being a part of Star Wars. I think it is the right choice, unfortunately, because of the choices that she made, but it just makes me sad. It didn't have to be.
Didn't have to be. No, you know, the Disney Gallery stuff, you're right. It was real. There was some real sweet moments. And I actually do believe that those who know her and work with her on the cast I've heard tell of nice things, and sweet person, just real stubborn and this and that. And it just became something else. It became almost a business thing, a brand thing. That's just disgusting and nasty. And yeah, so here's my final statement, Joseph, here's my final statement. And I said this in Discord, I'll repeat it here. She gone, we move on. That's right.
I think that's very good. And then my actual final statement is the same thing that you and I have been saying these last several times, that we've really felt we needed to talk about a big, volatile, real world political thing, is that I believe in freedom of speech. I do not believe in freedom of consequences. So if you have a problem with what we're saying and you need to stop listening to Force Center, yep, I totally respect that choice. But when we talk about these things, we say what we mean. We're committed to what we say. We say them because they're important. But if you are a listener who needs to walk away, that is your right, and we respect that.
100% agree. Force Center, agree. from there, and I hope to God that's the last time we have to discuss that particular issue. And all the old gods and the new. We are going to go to this big switch in news stories. Star Wars has won some awards for toys. That's right. Star Wars took home, I bet you didn't even know this was a thing, 5 Toy of the Year awards. What are the Toy of the Year awards? They're awards for toys given out on a yearly basis. All right. Star Wars cleaned up, and it's man, interesting. So Toy of the Year and Innovative Toy of the Year, that's 2 separate awards. That went to the Child Animatronic Edition. Put a pin in that title. The Construction Toy of the Year went to the Lego Star Wars The Razor Crest set, and I can attest to that. And then the Plush Toy of the Year, that's right, the Plush Toy of the Year, a heated race, went to the Child 11-inch Plus by Mattel. And then the License of the Year went to Star Wars The Mandalorian. Joseph, this was, you didn't even know this was going on. I didn't even know this was going on. But man, this was a fierce competition. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, no, I didn't know this was going on, but I am not surprised. The child is just the toy gift that keeps giving. I loved seeing just all those aisles full of the child toys, particularly before the start of season two, and just imagining Moff Gideon scouring the galaxy for the child and walking into a Target and going, what? The child is everywhere, every size, every iteration, the child everywhere. It's like Moff Gideon's nightmare.
The child is everywhere. It is on aisles at Targets, which are owned by them. This is all great. And I do have that Lego Razor Crest. And I built it. I've been doing the brick building on my Twitch channel. And I always just, they go straight to storage. Like, I keep them together, don't break apart the sets, but I put them straight into plastic boxes in the storage. And I couldn't do that to this one. I had it out on my living room towards the back door. And Grace was like, after like 7 days, was like, is this going to stay here? And I was like, no, I'm going to put it in storage. And about 4 days later, I was like, I can't. It's so good. It's like heavy. It's got weight to it. It's got compartments and sliding doors. It's got little tiny baby Grogu, the best Lego minifig ever. It's a great set. So when I saw this is why I wanted to cover it. I was like, yeah, I know, this makes sense. These are good toys, and they deserve some recognition.
Absolutely. I'm just very excited about, clearly, the child Grogu made a creative sense. It clearly the linchpin of the vision of what the Mandalorian show was, that it was this bounty hunter who's being emotionally opened up by finding this child, and they truly need one another and truly help one another. It's obviously creatively pure, but the way that the whole team made Grogu a character that so many millions of people wanted to take home in different sizes, different levels of softness or hardness, depending on plush or Lego or size. It's a thing to celebrate about Star Wars, that a character was so powerfully, you know, executed visually, aesthetically, and then also the storyline of who the character is, that it makes people want to have this character in their home, in their lives. It's just a great thing.
Great thing indeed. Final question on this, Joseph. These are all, that's why the names are key. The child animatronic, the child 11 inch plus. Can they sweep the awards again next year by just re-releasing the same toys but calling them Grogu? Does that count in your mind?
I think what the innovative toy of the year is going to be Grogu, too many cookies Grogu, that, you know, you squeeze and just a little bit comes up.
I want that. Too many cookies. So there you have it. The Mandalorian, without a doubt. It's been, you know, look, the sequel trilogy era, because there was just a slightly different approach to toys over the years, and great Lego sets, great figures, all the stuff we love ranking them on Star Wars Rank. But, you know, Joseph, it wasn't like the old Kenner days. It's a little different. They tried that. It didn't go. The market has changed. It's just old guys like you and me pushing aside kids in the aisles to get these toys. It's a little different. It's a little different how they put out the toys now. The Mandalorian, it did have that old vibe of just like Star Wars toy y'all gotta have.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm excited that level of excitement has come back for toys. Mm-hmm. And maybe then it will spill out into making even more Mandalorian characters. You know, I want my 3 3/4 vintage frog lady and Mon Cala in a sweater. I want all these other characters too.
There you go. There you go. So there you go. Congratulations, Mandalorian toy team. Final story of the day. I got to say, we don't normally cover what I call tweet news, which is an actor or someone tweets something and it becomes a news story. Not a comment on those that do cover it. Just sometimes they're just non-stories or non-starters. But I wanted to end with something fun and something we've been talking about here on Force Center. And this was, and again, shout out to I think it was Grant Davis over at the Star Wars Newsnet team. They always kind of gather things and put it in an easy-to-find section. And Janina Gavankar, best known for her role in The League. No, just me? Okay. In Star Wars Battlefront 2 is Iden Versio, a character we just love here at Force Center. We have been saying for a while now, Iden and Shriv for Rangers of the New Republic. And, you know, I got Del Mico in there too. So Janina tweeted out on February 10th, tagged Mitch Dwyer and Walt Williams, the writers of the Battlefront 2 story, said, someone responded, hey, to Janina, or someone tweeted to Gina. Let me get it right. So what's Iden Versio up to around the time of the Mandalorian? Asking for a friend, Janina. So Janina responded back to the writers and said, want to let them know. And this got Walt Williams, who's busy working on, I think, on a novel now, he's announced. He said, whether you're a Mandalorian or a Ranger, I can't think of anyone better to have in your corner than Iden Versio. And then Mitch Dyer no longer works directly for EA, I believe, all the stuff over there, but says, during the timeline of Mandalorian, Iden Versio is a former rebel, ex-Special Forces, a war hero, married, friends with Shriv, about to be a mother, ready for more stories. For those who are curious what she might be up to, I know I am. So, Joseph, that led to, understandably, a lot of excitement, a lot of speculation, fun, and we generally, you know, we like to speculate responsibly. This is dangerously irresponsible, but hey, I dug into this more, Joseph. I went into Reddit, a place I don't go because my name is not often spoken highly of there. Not many names are spoken highly on Reddit. I stay away from my mental health. But I went into Reddit. And again, this great Star Wars Newsnet article kind of linked to it. And there is some, we're talking sleuth level speculation put together because in November 2020, Janina, who lives out here, was tweeting that she'd been doing some work, that, best work day ever. So maybe some mocap stuff. And she was in LA at the time, tweeted a picture at the Grove, place where I used to be one of the security directors at there on that whole entire property. And then the actor who was her father, and then the actors Del Mico, I forgot to write their names, I apologize. They're in LA and they're talking about working together and they're talking about mocap. So is there more Iden Versio Battlefront 2 related content that has nothing to do with Rangers of the New Republic, but I just wanted to talk about Iden and Shriv and all those characters we love, Joseph.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, I would imagine the Reddit deep dive. Thank you for going into the cave on Dagobah and going into the scary parts of Reddit. There are definitely some scary parts. I've encountered some pages where I feel safe, but also some deadly, deadly stuff. Yeah, I think the mocap conversation, that's great, but that really does make me feel like, yeah, cool. Maybe there is some other Battlefront-related content coming in video game form in some way, somehow, which is really great. I kind of take the other tweets, and this is if not responsible speculation, wild speculation. Mm-hmm. I take the stuff about could Iden and or Shriv be in Mandalorian, and the writers tweeting that stuff is probably just a way for these actors and creators to go like, hey, look, there's interest, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is a thing that has been, I think, happening in a growing way in our constantly evolving world. Chuck Wendig has, you know, said like, I tweeted about wanting to write Star Wars books, and that started the conversation. Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka was a fan cast that got discussed and promoted by Rosario Dawson. It's not, I think sometimes, and I have no inside information, so I absolutely could be wrong. I think sometimes creators or actors are hinting at something that is already, you know, a contract. And sometimes they're going like, hey, I'm going to put this out there because a bunch of fans will highlight it. And that will demonstrate that there is true interest in this.
Totally. Yeah. It's a weird world we work at it. And you know, I don't ever want to get stuck to the old traditional ways of just being, getting a rare audition and get cast or willing things in. I want more solo content. I don't know if a hashtag is going to make it happen, but also I can't say it's not anymore. Right. It's just, that's not the way it works. So this could be some of it. I don't know Mitch and Walt personally, but I know some who worked on the project, and they just say they just are really rightfully proud of the story they put out there. And I think the Battlefront 2 story, short as it was, and they did write more things. I think they just know that there's definitely more stories to tell, whether or not they'll get their opportunity in some form or these characters live on. It probably kind of like Wendig and Cobb Vanth. Like he knew once that was announced, he didn't know it was coming, but to see that character that he had created was in a show and made the transition live action. And he knew it was probably not going to be beat for beat the same character or the same story, but he just felt good. And I imagine for them being part of creating that character, to the idea of people even wanting it in live action probably just feels good. So I think that's some of the spirit behind the tweets there too.
Absolutely. And I think they did a phenomenal job in that tweet of like listing the check marks of the interesting, compelling things that Iden would be up to is great. You know, it is just a reminder of like, it's not just that we love this character. It's that this character is doing interesting things in this timeline and well highlighted.
Yeah. And Janina Gavankar, her star has risen since the Battlefront 2 thing, though she's been working and doing a lot of things for a long time. True Blood, I mentioned the League, you know, but then she shows up at Meghan Markle's wedding in the peach dress that rocked the world. And now the world knows about her. Then she's in a Ben Affleck movie. She is a top notch talent. And so it would make sense. You would hope that Lucasfilm would look out there and go, who do we got? Who can we bring in? And that would work. But we'll keep you updated. Something we want. And Shriv, too. Joseph, you were right to like, when I first met Biden and you were like, we can't forget Shriv, one of the greatest characters in Star Wars.
Yeah. Dan Donahue, does a great job of voicing him. And I think he is really well written. I think as a culture, we're probably kind of familiar with the snarky video game character who's along with the ride, but they just made it really fresh with Shriv. It's just a great perspective, particularly on, hey, we won at Endor, and now the battle, we got to keep going. We got to finish this. And that's kind of like, to me, the perspective of his comedy. I was just like this, like, I'm not in the mood, but I have to do the right thing. It's really funny by itself. It's really relatable, and it fits this era of Star Wars. We're like, can we please just put out the final annoying, dying, horrible embers of the Empire? That yes. Shriv's perspective and sense of humor really nails. And the fact, I think that's what excites me about Ranger of the New Republic, where, you know, whatever that story is going to be, if it's Carson Teva saying, look, there's, like you said, like, there are too many people. There's too many weird things going out here in the Outer Rim. We need to get people together. And Shriv's like, fine. It's a great perspective.
Love it. We'll keep you all updated. A lot of possibilities in the Rangers of the New Republic. I don't think they quite know who the Rangers are yet. We shall see. We shall see. That is a look at news. We appreciate y'all for hanging through there, and we will never shy away from the important things that we feel we need to talk about. But it's also nice to talk about fun and hopeful things in Star Wars as well. We'll always try to find the right balance. Before we get in, take a quick break and go on to your great questions, Joseph, we have our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think all of our listeners should try out on us.
That is right. We are recommending the next High Republic book, Into the Dark by Claudia Gray. We have to figure out exactly when, but Ken and I will be discussing this one. So if you want to keep up with the High Republic, these new Star Wars adventures, you can check out this audiobook of Into the Dark by Claudia Gray.
Check it out indeed on us by downloading your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, your wonderful questions here on ForceCenter.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to 4Center, episode 298 of the main show. Ooh, a big number coming up soon. Sometimes I love celebrating big numbers, Joseph. Sometimes it's just like, hey, it is what it is. We'll see how we feel next week for a 300.
Yeah, the 300, we've done big celebrations for our 100th episode, our 200th, I don't know, the 300th, I don't know. Maybe we'll each wear a party hat in our own homes while we record.
There we go. We'll see. It's also weird because I've been going back and scrolling through the past shows to fix some of the broken links. For those who don't know, when we switched podcast hosting from Podomatic, it was always a great company to us, and to Anchor, there's just something happened in our podcast, and just a lot of episodes glitched, and like half the file came over, and no, we couldn't, blah, 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 blah. It's taken me literally a year and plus to get it there. Shout out to Simon Huffnagel, gave me a list of broken links. We used to just do like one main show every other 2 weeks, Joseph. Remember that? Right. Now we do two a week. So the number shot up. All right. Enough of my rambling, Joseph. Let's get to some wonderful questions.
Yeah, we got questions from Twitter and our patrons on Patreon. As always, we're going first to Twitter and to Christopher Lamb. Here's what Christopher says. So I've been rewatching Whose Line Is It Anyway? I forgot how funny it is and how happy improv comedy makes me. Then naturally, I thought to myself, what Star Wars characters would be great for a show like this? Considering both of you are comedians and Star Wars connoisseurs, what characters from any medium do you think would be great improv comedians for an in-universe Star Wars Whose Line show? All right. This is a good one. Ken, is this one of the questions that made you sit up all night thinking?
not quite. I have a small list. I started concentrating on the next question. But this is great. Christopher Lamb. This is great. Cause I've been a fan, not just, you know, done improv and sketch like you have, Joseph, for years too. But, sixth, seventh grade, I was watching Whose Line Is It Anyways? The British version, the original version with Clive Anderson and the whole gang there. So I've just loved this show for decades. It's party improv. It's not long form at times, but it's its own wonderful skill. So I'll start here. Now it becomes you and I discussing comedy theory and improv theory and who makes the best or who makes the worst people. I have two names, and there's a ton of names I could have chosen. Shriv is one too, though I think Shriv's a better stand-up comic.
I think Shriv, Shriv definitely paces on stage going, I don't know. What did I want to talk about next? Definitely has that energy.
I went with Leia. Now this might have more to do with Carrie Fisher, who's more of a storyteller and a monologuist than an improver, but she's got that energy. She could probably provide the details of a scene, come in with a line that just makes it more fun and more funnier, I should say. I don't know what you think about Leia. What do you think about Leia? I was on the fence, believe it or not, but I think she could.
Leia is the first person on my list.
Nice. Okay, let's discuss that.
Yeah, because, you know, she can have a certain, put it this way, for improv comedy, especially like that short form game structure, that there is an art to it. There is discovery. There's yes and, there's exploration, but there's also a blatant mandate to get laughs. So it requires a mixture of absolute focus and precision and to be open and flowing and explore ideas. And Leia obviously has that, like, I'm on a mission. My mission now is to be clever and get laughs. I will do that mission with all of my soul.
Yes.
And then everything all of the parts of Leia that were so deeply informed by Carrie Fisher, Leia does just always have that sparkling, knowing look in her eye. And, you know, and she's got, as a character, funny lines, like the, would it help if I got out and pushed, that edge, that sharpness is a part of the character of Leia. So I think she would be great at, playing out a lot of the Whose Line is often like awkward scenes. Right. And I think Leia would nail that too, of like the comedy of being in a, really awkward social situation. Leia could nail in seconds.
Yeah, totally. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. You nailed it there. So much of it is Carrie Fisher, which she is the role. She is Leia. Leia is her. All those kind of things we've discussed for years. And I just remember watching and repeat that. Was it the Good Morning America interview in 2015 with Gary the dog bored, and just I've even repeated that in my own life when she jokingly snaps at the reporter that you know of. Like, it's still one of my. I just love that interview. Love everything about it. And that is just off the cuff, flowing, connecting with the stage and the comedy and the moment, and knowing who you are, who your character is, and it just worked. So yeah, okay, that works for me. I'll put Leia number one on my list too. And we can share that spot.
Yeah, Leia number one. Who else you got on your list?
So here's the next one. Poe. I went with Poe Dameron. Now here's the thing. Okay, so you and I know, we know these kind of improv performers who are really funny, perhaps class clowny, got a lot of attention. Maybe they're the popular kid. Maybe they're not. But doesn't matter. But they're more class clowny, and they're just their personality versus comedy. But it works, and it can carry the scene. But it could be real bad. It can be real bad improv. And I've seen a lot of people during my time training at the Groundlings and everything 20 years ago now. God, I can't believe that. I've seen a lot of these folks literally end up on the ground crying because they can't do it. But I've seen some work real well. And one of the reasons I went with Poe is Poe, after he learns all the lessons, Poe in Force Awakens is probably a bad improv performer. Poe, after Last Jedi, knows how to lead by letting others take the spotlight and being there for them and with them. And he knows the value of a team, and that truly is improv. So I think that's why, in the end, I think he would, the leadership Poe would be a good improv Poe.
Yeah, I cannot agree enough about, he has an arc from a really funny, but maybe a little bit selfish and unsupportive improv comedian to one of those people who comes in and saves the scene. My go-to example for comedians, improv comedians who are really, really funny, but just going for the jugular, only for the laugh, is, if an improv scene starts and someone, their declaration really is that they sit down and they're clearly fishing. The person who needs the laugh the most will immediately go out there and flop is a fish. It is an improv rule in my mind. And in Force Awakens, Poe Dameron would jump in there and he'd be the fish and it would be funny, but it wouldn't help the scene move forward in any way.
Yes.
And then by Rise of Skywalker, it would be the like, okay, well, Finn and Rey are out there doing a scene and it's kind of working, but they're not quite agreeing on something. And then Poe would be that guy who comes in and, you know, fixes everything in the scene so it can move forward and everybody is playing the same game.
Yes. Yes. Be a comedy fixer, my friends. Be a comedy fixer. So that's who else you got on your list?
You know, I was having fun with this because I think Jedi should naturally be good at improv because, wow, you can use the Force actually to even enhance your level of intuition. And, you know, the best improvisers can really open themselves up to possibility and don't have those preconceived notions. And I was thinking, which Jedi is really the best at not being rigid but truly flowing? And Rael Averroth?
Well, now we're going to do a scene here.
Yeah, I mean, because he's pretty loose. I mean, he's got some fears and concerns, but Rael Averroth from the he appears a couple places, but Claudia Gray in particular, Master and Apprentice book. The others for me, I think Lando would actually be good because I think Lando has an element of, you know, especially like in Solo when we get to see him as the storyteller who knows exactly what he's doing. He's not just kind of rambling about himself. Like his stories are, you know, partially putting himself over to achieve a goal. And some of that is kind of like drawing focus where he wants to during a game, you know? So he's already got a sort of like, he's super charming. He's super funny and he's gamified it for his own advantage. And so I think he'd be really great. And then my final for me is Maz Kanata. I think somebody has years and years of experience, and she's somebody who has also got a little bit of that right balance of like, I'm going to keep this all on the rails. I'm going to move this forward, but I'm going to be loud and expressive and have fun.
I love that a lot. My final one I was going to submit was Yoda. And I see her and Yoda having some good scenes together there. The reason I chose Yoda is, you know, one of the things back when I was even coaching improv of just, you know, finding the character means finding and performing behind that character's point of view. And when Yoda commits to being a buffoon in Empire, he's in, man. He's in. And that's some of the best comedy, right? So yeah. I'll go with that. And he also reminds me of the performer. And I had a little bit of this too. I was a little bit more, you know, I'm more quiet, withdrawn. And then I come up on stage and maybe I just kind of get you with some kind of sly, sardonic take or something. And Yoda, as serious as he is, he's also kind of like, lost a planet, Obi-Wan has. Just like
how
fighting.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, you can come with that. So you know, I don't know if he'd lead the team or he'd kind of be like, I don't want to do it. All right, I'll do it. But I'd put Yoda on the team.
I would put Yoda on the team too. This was not asked, but I'll throw it out there quickly. It's fun to also think who would be really, who should be good at improv, but is not there yet. And I feel like Force Awakens Kylo Ren would be like a Michael Scott from The Office doing improv.
I got a gun.
I don't have my lightsaber.
As much as I love good improv, I love bad improv even more. Yes, I you know what I went for? Because he could be funny, but Chopper.
Oh.
Obviously, Chopper is someone who would just dominate the scene, probably be funny, would probably get a sitcom deal, but everyone on the troops like, God bless Chuck. God, so bad. He was so bad. He was so in it for himself.
He's so funny, but he steps on everybody else's line with his weird farty noises. We say that as people who love Chopper. We are Chopper converts. Can't wait to revisit the best of Chopper when I rewatch Rebels. All right. We could talk about that one all day. Thank you so much for that fun question, Christopher. Diving into our love of comedy and Star Wars, we're going to move on to our next question from Alejo. Alejo asks, silly question. Let's assume Han and Leia had a formal wedding. Who was and was not invited? Feel free to speculate who played significant roles in the wedding. Now I had this up. I had looked up to remind myself the actual modern canon of Han and Leia's wedding. And in modern canon, you know, obviously in expanded old Legends universe, there is a little bit of controversy back and forth. But then I believe it was in Courtship of Princess Leia. But in modern canon, is a complex book. In modern canon, here's the quote right from Wikipedia. It was right there on the Endor moon after everything. We had a small ceremony, just those we trust. We don't keep it secret, but we didn't make it public either. So that's the current description of the actual wedding in canon. But I love what Alejo is saying here. Assuming that they did have a big formal wedding, who is there? Who isn't? Who's involved in what role? What are you thinking, Ken?
This is one I had some notes and went back and even just now type one in. Though I admit it's probably like a bad improv, just going for the joke. I think, without a doubt, I think shared best man, best Wookiee is Chewie, right? Like you can't choose anything other than that, right?
Yeah, no, Chewie. I think he gets the wedding medal, as it were.
Officiant, I went with Mon Mothma.
Hmm.
Now, I thought Ackbar for a second, but I thought there was some practical, the same reason I don't think Ackbar should have had Holdo scenes in Last Jedi, other than some deep philosophical reasons I feel that, or also the practical reason of blah, 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 blah. You could not understand him officiating the wedding. So Mothma, with her quiet, reserved nature, her air of authority, it wouldn't be a necessarily funny, wedding ceremony, but she really kind of just provides some warmth and heart. You know?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect choice for officiant, and I love why you didn't choose Ackbar. Hey, marriage.
And
obviously, the it's a trap joke is right there. Hopefully, yes. Ackbar would not express that sentiment during somebody's wedding. I don't think that's who Ackbar really was.
No.
So tell me what else you got. You got a great picture here.
Yeah, yes. In the wedding party, Luke there probably it's funny. You'd probably be like one of those shared, and I love too that now wedding, what are they called, teams? I don't know. Wedding squads are you know, there's no, the old standards are long gone, and I love that. And so I think Luke could be on Leia's line there. You could clearly tell who's not been married here in this scenario, even though I've officiated some weddings. Luke could be on Han's side, or just in the middle. Doesn't matter anymore. I will say this. I think Shriv would be there. I think he's warmed his way into everyone's heart. I want Shriv there. He might be given a good speech at the wedding, too. I actually think Amelin Holdo would be there. Her and Leia go back a ways. She kind of comes in and out of the story. They have a connection. And I think Leia doesn't have a lot of real close friends. She can't trust anybody, right? It's just tough. And it's either people she works with above or, but you know, and I think Holdo's someone she can trust. So I put her there. And final couple here of there. I do think Cara Bay and or Cass Dameron, definitely Cara Bay and Leia have some, spend some quality time together, know each other, respect each other. Cass, you know, maybe he'd be in the crowd watching. Maybe someone's got to watch young Poe. And the final one, well, now that she's switched sides and she's part of the Rebel Alliance, we got to have Iden Versio there, and then she can wear, too, like a peach dress or whatever that was with the World
Cup. This is a complete party that I want to go to, and I agree with, like, almost all your choices. Mon Mothma, officiant, for sure, for a big wedding. I think Chewie is best Wookiee and is standing for both Han and Leia. Absolutely, for sure. I think Hera is there for sure, because that's, you know, been a great addition in canon about how, what a big role Hera played. I think certainly Crix Maydeen is there. I think Luke is in. I think he makes the point to stick around for this. This is important to him. Right. Maybe he has, I think he probably during the actual ceremony, I think if there's a reading, maybe like an Alderaanian poem, I think maybe they ask Luke to read it, and maybe he has some things to say about how the Force connects everyone in the wedding. Mm-hmm. A wedding is like the Force connecting people and community. I think he'd have some beautiful things to say, and maybe some funny little jokes for his buddy Han. Yeah. I think Wedge would not be in the wedding party, and I think he'd be kind of bummed about it. Like the poor Wedge of almost always like the heroes of the galaxy, blah, blah. Oh, and also Wedge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect to big fans of Wedge. I just think that, for me growing up with the original trilogy, he was always the end Wedge.
And the rest. Yes.
Yes. He was the end Peggy of Rebellion Heroes and Wedge. Yeah, let's see. Okay, so here are my other thoughts. I think Maz Kanata caters the wedding. I think she brings the food, for sure. And then I think that Holdo and Lando are definitely there. I think they're definitely in the wedding party. But more importantly, I think Holdo and Lando took Han and Leia out for the bachelor and bachelorette parties the night before. And I think there is, I love having the idea of Holdo and Lando being introduced to one another. Holdo, Lando, Lando, Holdo. And I think they both took Han and Leia out for a wild night on the town. And my final thought is they need music. Mm. I think Leia would say, look, they are an important part of our relationship. They're an important part of our victory. They have to be here. I think for the wedding music, I think Ewoks played on trooper helmets.
Oh, that's great. You see, you can tell which one of us is, you know, had planned and been married and is married, you versus me. I'm like, oh, that's right. They need music. Okay. That's a great list. Oh yeah. I'd want that there. Can I submit my not theirs?
Oh yeah.
Cause they actually counteract two of your choices there.
Ooh.
I think Maz wouldn't be there because Mala was in attendance. Ooh. And she just a little upset that Chewie stayed married. Just a little upset. And this is not, Han's my guy. I love Han Solo, but I'm not saying everything he does is perfect. I think Hera was not included because Han is still better about her being a better pilot. And he put his little Han Harrison Ford pointing finger out and Ben Solo too, and just said, no, I draw the line there. And it caused some problems, by the way. This isn't good. This isn't a good thing. This is some drama that happened. And Leia conceded, which is very rare for her, but she just, Han just, you know, it just, it, and I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying I'm happy with Han here, Joseph. I'm just saying this, I see him maybe causing some problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the final participant that I don't think is super standard to any weddings I have attended to, but is maybe a sort of a bouncer figure. I'm thinking maybe Rex.
Yes.
Maybe the character Nick Sant. I think somebody a little older, a little wiser, is absolutely on the lookout, truly, truly checking IDs at the door to make sure there are no bounty hunters or scoundrels with a grudge who are targeting Han during the wedding.
That's smart. That's smart. And my final one, they attended the wedding, but they weren't invited because they crashed it. Dr. Chelly Aphra and Saina Staros.
That is a perfect button. That is so great. And I love your rationale for not there. That is a very fun question. Thank you so much. We love tackling the fun questions as well as the deep questions. We're going to move on to our questions from our patrons on Patreon. First up is Simon Huffnagel. Again, Simon, as Ken says, thanks for helping us find all of our broken links. Simon finds our broken parts. Here is Simon's thoughts for this question. Simon adds, I've got a couple of questions regarding the all but guaranteed from a certain point of view book for Return of the Jedi in 2023. First, do you think there's a chance for any big canon questions to be answered from the stories in this book? For example, my mind goes to Boba Fett escaping the Sarlacc or an elaboration on Palpatine's survival. But I don't think the first two books contained any reveals on that scale. Are there any big canon questions you would want answered by this book? Second, what characters do you hope get stories in the third From a Certain Point of View book? My personal hope is for another L3 story during the Battle of Endor. I imagine her feeling a lot of joy having Lando fly the Falcon again until he knocks off the dish and she starts cursing at him all the way to the main reactor. Thanks, as always, for your thoughts. My first thought, Ken, as I'm reading this, is that we left Nine Numb out of the wedding entirely.
That's one of the stories in this book. It's a little epilogue there.
Sorry, Nine. He needs to show up. These are great thoughts from Simon on this. I'll put this out here before we get into answering Simon's questions about this this big picture idea of how much, you know, canon has been revealed by these From a Certain Point of View books. And I would say that they've had emotional canon reveals. You have used that great phrase, emotional canon. But I think in the first book, the perspective that Yoda really would have loved to have trained Leia, thought she was the one who has had what it takes to be a Jedi. That great Kevin Scott story of Obi-Wan entering the cosmic force and experiencing that. In the second book, for me, the sort of emotional canon that Vader was having these dreams about what it would be like to have Luke actually be his son and help him destroy the Emperor and Padme's back. And it was that obsession, that particular vision that Vader couldn't stop focusing on, which was what allowed Palpatine in to realize the truth about Luke for himself. For me, there was a couple of those moments that are like, oh, that's cool, emotional canon. But I don't know if there beyond that, there's big, like, this event happened here this day and here's how it happened kind of canon. Mm. Mm. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
I can tell you, I scouring that movie. I hope we get some of the stuff. I'm really intrigued by anything with Palpatine, anything his survival, and if we get that towards the end. I'm trying to think, like, do I want Qui-Gon there watching Yoda? I don't know. I don't want that, you know, it's a good Yoda trilogy. So I am focusing on some stuff with Yoda.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Mm. The Qui-Gon Yoda entering the cosmic force would be powerful.
Yeah. And hoping that the book can surprise me with those kind of emotional canon moments in Jedi. I'm trying to think of some stuff with Luke, too. I have a list, but I didn't go that deep.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to go for it, yeah, share your list.
First of all, I really love Simon's. His suggestions are great. The L3 story is a great suggestion. The Boba Fett escaping the Sarlacc would be on anyone's mind if they want to touch it. I don't think they'd touch it here. But I got to the Palpatine survival. And it's been touched on, you know, in the Rise of Skywalker novelization with Ray Carson, right? If you get an expansion of that and seeing it from his point of view, I think it would be really intriguing, really interesting. Could be potentially big stuff. Sorry.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Please continue.
And I'll run through my list. Hera and or Rex on Endor, just kind of putting them there in the story. Be good. I wouldn't mind, and this might be, and I was stumbling a little bit because I'm trying to connect. I think this moment, Moff Gergerod refusing to destroy Endor would be one of those, like, getting inside, kind of an emotional canon decision to some of the stuff that was not in the film, but was in those famous deleted scenes. I wrote about it in the In Memoriam we did here in Force Energy. I'm obsessed by this idea of Gerard making that choice at the end, if he does, you know, of his orders were destroy Endor, wipe out the base, and he doesn't. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing that, you know?
I think that's one of the things for me where these books have had my favorite stories where they go into somebody else's head and they don't really change any events that happen, but give us this fresh human perspective on an event. And that would be a great example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I was trying to sync that up there with the question you asked me there. I would love some Malakili stuff, but with the way that books have been written, I think we're going to get something called The Last Moments of Patissa, which is just inside Rancor's mind.
That's coming for sure because there is so much animal perspective in the Empire Strikes Back one that we're definitely getting an extremely sad Patissa story.
Yeah. And then so by that, in that same token, Wart outside just eating the bug outside of Jabba's palace. Behind the belch. There you go. One of the royal guards that round Palpatine, just hearing it, seeing it, you know, they have to hear that stuff. I don't know what NDA they signed, but they're hearing it. And then the final one for me, Joseph. I'd like to go back to Jabba's palace following the immediate destruction of Jabba and hear from Rada the Hutt. A little stinky.
Yeah. Stinky. How does Stinky feel about this? Is Stinky like, yeah, old enough to be like, good, it's my empire now.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my list.
That is a very good list. I think a little bit of overlap between us. I think the tension I have with these books is, you know, when the stories hit, they really hit hard for me. And then sometimes, like, you know, there's a part of me that wants to hear the insight from some moments. And some of them, I feel like for me, I sometimes just want, like, let's keep that open to imagination, you know. Mm-hmm. Rather than going into it. So I think I have some tension there. But I would love Palpatine's shaft falling thoughts. You know, mm-hmm. I think that could be written really, really well. And it could be a little less for me about the time has come, but more just the shock of what has happened to him, the pain of what has happened to him, the desperation to survive. Again, there is some element of that in the Rise of Skywalker novelization, but I think that would be a great way to kind of put a button on that. Probably my most wanted thing is some perspective from what we always called as kids, because that's what their action figure names, the Imperial dignitaries, who now really seem like, oh, yeah, those are Sith Eternal cultists who are aware of Wayfinders and aware of Exegol and aware of, you know, various backup plans and are aware of that Sith treasure room off the side of the throne room that we see in Rise of Skywalker. I would love some connective tissue. Less about Palpatine being like, yes, here's my exact plan. Here's how I'll do it. Because we already do have some of that in Rise of Skywalker novelization. But I would love the more connecting the Imperial dignitaries to the Sith Eternal. That's probably my number one thing that I would love.
Janus Grigianus of it all.
Yeah. Simalu, what did you do? Yeah.
Oh, God. Could we get one just called, it's Mos Amita, and it's just titled Gulp? And it's just him watching the Death Star blow up on the.
Oh, yeah. Hey, wow. Talk about pulling in all these different connections, because we know, yeah, Mos Amita is the one who eventually signs the surrender, right? The official Imperial surrender. So, yeah, he's definitely going, oh, it all finally came down around my horns. other things that are a little bit more fun. I love the character. It was used to be known in action figure days as Pruneface, now known as Ori Marco. I've just always loved that character. I think it's prominent that those Drasilians are there in that fateful briefing moment. I would love to hear some more about Ori Marco. There's going to be, I think, a ton of Ewok content. But I think I would like to hear about Paploo's big day of riding that speeder bike.
That's all the essay is.
And then the one that, I'm tortured about. I'm not sure if I want it or if I would like it to continue to be an element of mystery and discussion. But like Anakin entering the cosmic force, you know, that immediately gets into sort of the force spirit sort of functionality. So it could be great. It could be awesome. It could come out and go, I love this as much as I love the story about Obi-Wan entering the cosmic force. But there's that part of me too that just that like some things being open for interpretation and discussion. So I'm on the fence about that one.
Same. Almost same with the entire book series after the Empire one, which is really good and some great stuff. But I like kind of now viewing those books as strong suggestions, and you can take what you want from them, if that makes sense.
Exactly. They are stories that may or may not be true from a certain point of view. We're going to move on to our final question. Thank you, Simon, for that. Michael McCarcel asks, so far, who would you say is your favorite Jedi of the High Republic? For me, it has to be Bryaga. His insight of, you don't thank Jedi for being Jedi was very poignant to me, as well as his feelings about no one understanding him on a very literal and emotional level really hit home. Not to mention, his entire interaction with Serge had me in tears. Thanks, and may the Force be with you. For people who have not yet read The Light of the Jedi, Bryaga, Wookiee Jedi, has a couple great scenes, but the one that Michael is referencing in particular, an extremely emotional and really interesting scene of Bryaga, the Wookiee Jedi. Ken, for you, who are your favorites so far?
So I'm going to take Porter Engel and put him on a shelf, because I've talked about Porter Engel a lot, a 300-year-old Jedi, not ready to retire, but also ready to learn some new stew recipes. Really love that character. And the nice thing about the High Republic, we're 2-3 books in, some comics, and there's already a lot of choices, Joseph, so I'm not going to just run through a giant list. I do love Avar Chris. I really think she's a superstar Jedi. It's going to be the center of this. I really love Elzar Mann as well. And there's something like early and before Porter Engel was introduced in Light of the Jedi, Elzar Mann, there's just some things about him considered unorthodox and controversial in some circles, but just there was some him just like trying to figure out the best way to move the Force forward or to try new tricks, and was considered a tinkerer. I don't know. There's just something about that. It was different than just like, I don't like these rules. It was just like, all right, no, I get all of this. How can we improve what we do or make it easier or try? I just, something about that spirit of him I liked. So I'll say him, and then Vernestra Rowe from Justine Ireland's. I'm just so rooting for that character. This 16-year-old prodigy Jedi put in a position of power now with a Padawan, and there's something I just really moved, and you can always take lessons from characters and apply them to your own life, and there's some lessons in there, particularly the unveiling of the Light Whip. If you haven't read it, we won't go into it too much there. But also at the same time, I'm just rooting for the character just from afar, from watching this character story. I really like that Jedi and a good take. A young Jedi in an era where there's thousands of them. What's that perspective?
Yeah. These are all really, really great picks. I think maybe my favorite in a way is all of them because they've all been successful and sort of being delineated from one another and being interesting. I would describe Elzar Mann as a future favorite because we got a little bit of him in Light of the Jedi, but I'm so excited to see where he's going. I loved in particular that idea that he wants to climb up the ranks, not to climb up the ranks, but just because I want to study the Force. And when you're at a higher rank, it's basically like, you know, you get study time that you don't have when you're a Jedi Knight on assignment.
Yeah.
And I want more study time to play with the Force and find out, you know, what different ways we can approach it. That's such a great idea. And I feel like such a hint as to where his story is going. I will be up there with you putting Porter Engel in the Hall of Fame, the Blade of Bardotta, his story in Light of the Jedi. It's one of the kind of almost little running in the background stories, but one of the most powerful. Really enjoying in the main High Republic comic, the Trandoshan Jedi, whose name I need to clearly learn to pronounce.
Yeah.
Great stuff going on there. But I think for me, my top two, I agree with you on Vernestra Rowe. We talked a lot on our Test of Courage review. 16-year-old prodigy who, I just love that perspective that you learn early on in that book of like, I am really talented and confident, and I've got a lot of support. And I've worked hard for my success, but I know it's also been luck, and I'm just going to go out there and do my best. I love steadfast characters who are starting from a good place, and their conflict is they have something to lose. They could fall from this good place that they're starting in, and giving extra attention, the fact that she's 16 and heading into a time of like of great crisis makes her a really interesting character. Of can she remain as steadfast and great as she is? And then my other favorite is Loden Greatstorm. Twi'lek, one of the main characters from Light of the Jedi. I really love that he feels like this very solid Jedi where he is clearly very powerful. He's clearly very clear on when he should take action, when the Force must be used. But he's also very careful about how can I use it in a way that is empathetic, and like if somebody needs to be stopped, how can I stop them without really hurting them? Just such a great vision of how to use power. But then his relationship with his Padawan Bell is just, it's so fun and so playful and so human. And he's this great picture of what's so cool about the Jedi is they can be these mystical warriors who are concerned with how do I balance the responsibility of power with the necessity of using power. But then he's also like this playful father figure who has a sense of humor and likes Stu and Charhounds, you know?
Mm-hmm. Bell's any version of them too. I'll tell you what, I'm just so been blown away already by the era because on record here in Force Center, just like when the got announced, like, okay, I'm excited. I don't know. A bunch of Jedi run around doesn't appeal to me as much as I would think. It's just, they're did such a good job of just making every character represent a part of the Jedi Order or question the Jedi Order or a new thing to learn and just individual characters. And I shouldn't be surprised. These are talented authors and people behind the story. But just for me as a fan, I've just continued. I find myself being rewarded and pleasantly, wonderfully surprised.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty soon here, we're going to be digging into the dark. And it's been so great to have just loved this era. I love these characters so much that I'm really excited to dig into that. Yeah. So great questions. Thank you, Michael, Simon, Alejo, and Christopher. And Ken, that's it for the questions.
Yeah, and that's it for us today on this episode. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcasts available in a lot of spots wherever you're listening right now and other places like Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and now Amazon Music. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Get that Speculate Responsibly t-shirt and show your friends you do want Iden in Star Wars. You're just being cautious and support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. always excited for new patrons. We've had a few in the last few days and weeks, and we really appreciate that. You can go to catnapsock.com or follow me at catnapsock. We always like to highlight charities close to our hearts or things we are putting our names behind as individuals. And for me right now, stbaldrick's.org, a great organization, been highlighting on and off over at the Good People Association, a great organization that's helping to fight childhood cancers. You can donate directly and go to stbaldrick's.org for more information. Joseph.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can visit my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all my other comedy adventures, my other podcast, Obsessed, some comedy albums, and future online shows. For myself, well, one thing I meant to say a little bit earlier is just a reminder of if you want to ask questions on social media, Twitter is the best place to do that. We have a our pinned tweet is a call for questions. So if you have a fun question, a serious question, a silly question, feel free to ask it right there. And then for things that we support, I will shout out again the service ResistBot. You can text. I think you can use it through tweet. You can use it lots of different ways to just very quickly on your phone send a message to your representatives, letting them know what you want. I think it is a personal opinion and perspective of mine that it is important to remember, even though sometimes we don't feel super powerful, we all do have power. Sometimes it's a tiny sliver of power that only really becomes truly powerful when we combine our little sliver of power with other people's slivers of power. And I try to remind myself that I think that we should be participants of history, not just observers of history. So even though it doesn't feel like everything, I try to take the time, if I feel strongly about something, to reach out to my representatives and add my little voice, my little sliver of power. And ResistBot is just such a great, straightforward, fast way to do that, that I really like to recommend it.
Great way indeed, and I appreciate working with you, Joseph, over all these years. We're still going strong, and it's been just a rewarding experience. And on these episodes where we have to dig in a little deeper and get into the real world stuff, I just want to say I always feel safe and secure with you in the pilot seat with me, you and Jennifer too. So always a lot of fun. I hope all of you listeners who support Four Center over the years, just appreciate everything going on. You make our community strong, and thank you so much.
I echo the same, Ken. It is great to do this with you and to celebrate the things, in Star Wars and in real world that you and I are always simpatico on. And then I've always learned different things in different perspectives from you too, and always feel safe doing it as well. So thank you so much for that.
What Joseph means is he didn't love the Y-Wing as much. All right. That's it for this week. Four Center 298 in the books. We'll see you later in the week for 299 and the countdown to 300 and the party streamers. We'll see you soon. This was Four Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.